May the Lord help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 308. Hymn 308. We cannot sing the whole of this hymn. We're going to sing but the first eight verses, really. But I would exhort you all to carefully read through the whole of the hymn. I'm going to read just a few verses at the end of the first part here, where we find thickets of briars and thorns, our feeble feet enclose, and every step we take betrays new dangers and new woes. When all these foes are quelled, and every danger past, that ghastly phantom death remains to combat with at last. We'll sing verses 1 through 8, 308.
Thank you.
us read for our instruction from the Word of God out of the book of Proverbs. We'll commence reading in the third chapter and read through the fourth. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And we'll commence there at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and that thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thee, to thine head, an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. May the Lord give that understanding in his holy word and help us now to pray. O thou right, righteous, holy, just, eternal God, we come to thee now, and Lord, we are so opposite of all those very things, so unholy and unclean, so dark. O Lord, we would yet come and draw near, and we would humbly ask that thou wilt yet work in us that which is honourable and righteous and pleasing in thy sight, that thou, O Lord, wilt make us to fear thy name. Help us, O Lord, to look unto thee and to seek thee with all our heart. Draw us away, Lord, from all that is of this earth, and draw us unto thyself. Oh, we would come near unto God. We would approach unto that place by thee. The place, Lord, where thou art well pleased for thy righteousness' sake, where indeed thou canst meet with sinners, even such as we. Oh, hear us now, and help, Lord, and undertake, and lift us up. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, how we so languish. It was said of thy people of old that they had dwelt long enough around that Mount Sinai. And Lord, is it not true with us here that we dwelt long enough around all these things of time and sense? O Lord, may it please thee then to come and raise us up, that we may, Lord, seek those things which are above, to be followers after that righteousness of Christ. O, to know that true hunger and thirst, to feel, Lord, something of our heart so longing to be a partaker of it. O, that thou wilt come, Lord, to bless us then. And do, Lord, show unto us something now of that way, that path of the just, the way of the righteous. Oh, that we might be found walking the footsteps of the flock, that we might be found as those who follow after God. Oh, Lord, we pray that we might be found amongst that people, that number, who shall be brought near unto thee? Oh, we fear, Lord, if it should be said of us, depart from me. Oh, Lord, help, deliver us from that. But come now, Lord, and bless. We do thank thee for the privilege granted, the opportunity to meet in thy house once more. Another Lord's Day that is given to us. And Lord, while it is a day that so many misuse, misapply, so many misunderstand, oh, teach us, Lord, more and more the blessedness of it. And may we learn, Lord, the real secret to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Oh, may it be such a day unto us that we might enter, Lord, into thy rest there. Oh, that we may perceive something, Lord, of the rest of faith to be built up in Jesus himself. Oh, to hear of him, to know him, to fear him, to love him. Oh, Lord, this we ask thou wilt do for us. Hear us then. And we do humbly beg that thou wilt now also remove far from us all that offends thy holy nature, all that grieves thy Holy Spirit. Oh, may there be, Lord, even today, that real confession of sin and a self-abhorrence, a turning from all of our sinful ways and practices, and a true following after those things which are heavenly. Oh, bless us then. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember those who've turned in and gathered. Thou knowest, Lord, each case, each soul, each heart. Thou knowest those, Lord, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Those who yet, Lord, go on hardening the heart. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt condescend unto them and be gracious unto them and merciful, that thou wilt awaken them and help them, Lord, to seek thy kingdom. But remember those, Lord, where that light has come, and it is but yet, Lord, the springing forth of the tender blade, a little blade, a little shoot, something, Lord, that is easily trampled upon, something that is easily hurt and destroyed. But Lord, if indeed there is that work begun, where there is at first that little blade, we pray that thou wilt now watch over, Lord. Wilt thou water it? Oh, that thou wilt keep it and undo and enrich it, Lord. And may it be that it may spring forth to that full corn in the ear. Oh, Lord, remember such souls in that state, and be gracious unto them. Remember, Lord, those who feel to be backsliding, in a backsliding condition. Oh, that there might be also for them that returning again and a recovery, the Lord coming once more to stir them up. And Lord, bless the word of God to that end, even today. Oh, that thou wouldst so direct the word. May it be an arrow that's so sharp, entering into the heart and wounding the soul and bringing sinners low at thy feet, souls who need healing, souls serpent bitten, who need now, Lord, that balm of Gilead. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt so help them, be very gracious unto them. Remember such, Lord, who stand in paths of great conflict, who feel, Lord, at times to be in a place where they seem so uncertain. They know not what to do. They know not what they are about. They cannot make out things, Lord. Oh, the strange, mysterious way that they are being led. Be gracious unto them then. And may they be helped, Lord, yet also to cast their care, commit their way unto the Lord. And do, Lord, direct all things. Oh, remember those, Lord, each, Lord, who have inward burdens, each who have outward cares, each who have, Lord, great conflict. Remember them each. Draw near unto them. Oh, be unto each, Lord, that helper. a God to direct and order all their ways. So, Lord, condescend. Surely thou knowest those, Lord, who are in the throes of temptation, in the heat of it, who have, Lord, severe temptations. And thou knowest, Lord, how they are so weak and they fear. Wilt thou yet, Lord, look upon them in mercy? And, oh, do touch their hearts. And do yet lead them forth. Oh, Lord, have mercy yet. We pray, O Lord, for those of thy people who seek to walk tenderly, who seek to walk, Lord, close, who would be found walking in love. And yet, Lord, they feel so much of the opposition of their nature and all that is around them. Oh, help them then. Be very gracious. Be with husbands and wives. Enable them, Lord, to walk in love, unity. Those with children, Lord, remember them in that too. May they be found diligent, faithful, to train up the children, to guide them. Oh, be very gracious unto them. Have mercy, Lord, we pray. Oh, we do pray that thou remember the little ones, each of them. Be gracious unto them. From their earliest days, Lord, wilt thou look down in mercy. Oh, that thou wilt yet, Lord, make their heart tender. Keep their conscience close. Leave them not, Lord, to harden it. Oh, be very gracious unto them. And in those early years, Lord, oh, may there be some impressions made, impressions which they shall never forget, which they, Lord, shall only find, shall linger and abide and work for some good. Oh, be with them then. And we do pray for the little one that's been born, another soul, Lord, another gift. And what can we say? When it's given all its faculties thus far, we thank thee. We thank thee for that mercy granted to the mother, to the child. Remember them then, and bless, Lord. And may it be, Lord, that in all these things, thy hearts may be the more humbled over thy goodness, thy loving kindness, and all thy care. Oh, Lord, how good thou art. We do pray that thou wilt remember those with trials, those in the midst of life, those who carry the heat and burden of the day, who bear it so much. Oh, be with them each, Lord, and undertake. And do remember especially our dear friends who have come to old age. Come to the time, Lord, when they feel many things now failing. But, oh, may they find, Lord, at such times, thou dost not fail. And thou art the same. Thou dost abide. Thou changest not. Oh, then stay their minds on thee. And may they be found, Lord, as that shock of corn fully ripe, rightly prepared. Oh, what a wonder it is, Lord, when a soul is really prepared, when he's made ready for eternity, when indeed Christ is formed in the heart, the hope of glory. Oh, come now unto us. Oh, Lord, we have all our needs, our concerns, our fears, our hopes. We think, Lord, of all the distress that is around and the forces of evil that seem so strong. When indeed, Lord, it seems so much is against us, oh, then to cast ourselves upon thee. We do pray that thou wilt then help, Lord, and undertake. Remember us now. We do pray that thou wilt yet, Lord, accept our thank offerings for many mercies and kindness, provisions, comforts. Oh, we would bless thy name, Lord, for each one, and pray that thou wilt then pardon every sin, Take away all iniquity and receive us in that name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Let us now continue by singing hymn number 1084. Ah, wretched, vile, ungrateful heart, that can from Jesus thus depart, thus fond of trifles vainly rove, forgetful of a Saviour's love. Hymn 1084. Gracious help, direct your thoughts this morning now to the book of the Proverbs, chapter 4, and reading there verse 14. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. There's one thing that stands out in this book of Proverbs. Two things, really. That especially the wise man Solomon keeps coming to. And that is, first, the way of the wicked. The way of the world, the way of the strange woman, it's all one and the same. The call he gives unto the children, his son, and no doubt when he speaks of the rest of the children, he speaks of his daughters. But his great concern for them is that they might be delivered from the snare, from that path of evil, the way of the ungodly. And so he keeps coming to that. He keeps warning. Sometimes, you dear parents, you may think, and the enemy may, as it were, prevail upon you to think that you shouldn't say too much of these things to the children, the warnings. Sometimes you might be tempted to think that the warnings will in time only harden the heart. There is a need be to be prudent, to be cautious, but look at how Solomon warned and warned and warned throughout this book of Proverbs. And then into Ecclesiastes. Solomon knew the danger. He had fallen into it. He had been turned aside. He had been led astray. He went to such lengths. You remember when he writes how that he left nothing to his heart to find out. He went in everything. You dear children, you might think that older ones seem a bit prude, a bit too silly in being too cautious. You see, young friend, they've already been through it. They've walked where you're walking. They've known the temptations you know. They have many a time fallen. They know the bitterness of it. They know something, at least some do, something of the bitter sorrow of it. And they would endeavor to deliver you from it. But you see, such is our nature. As we grow up, we think we know better. We think we know better than the older generation. We know better than our parents. Every generation feels the same. Let Solomon speak then and be faithful. He speaks as God's mouthpiece. He speaks as God's servant. He writes here as one who is led of the Holy Ghost in all that he warns us of. These are not idle warnings either. Things that we might look at and say, well, okay, that's worthwhile some note, but no need to be too diligent. So that's just what Satan would have us do. That dreadful foe, that one who goes about as a roaring lion, and then too as an angel of light, that one who comes with such subtle temptations, so that we cannot perceive that there's evil in it. But evil is at the end of it. Oh, he keeps coming. He never ceases. If at any one time you might be delivered from some snare that he sets, you can be sure he'll set two more. He will try, endeavor to catch the feet of everyone. Ah, no wonder Solomon here then writes with such diligence and earnestness and love and care. Hear ye children. I've never noticed it before really, but if you go through the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, when he speaks of a son, he speaks of the but son, singular. It is thought that he only had one son. Of all the marriages he had and children he had many, many daughters. And it would almost seem like he forgets the daughters, but he doesn't. He comes to this children. Ye children, hear the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Forsake not my law. But man who had fallen so terribly, been ensnared so dreadfully, he comes now to warn.
See, is it not applicable that we should receive warning from someone who has fallen so grievously, who knows so much of what temptations really are? Surely he has lots of wisdom. He can speak out of experience. You see, that's the vital thing. So many, when they speak, it's not out of any real experience. You know, for me to go and try to speak out of things on the medical field, it would soon be discovered I'd have any experience in it at all. Or if I were to go and speak out of the field of nuclear science, what a preposterous presumption that would be. I haven't any experience. If I were to speak about things that some of our men work on in their daily work, that too would be presumption. And yet how many there are who try to speak of the things of God and haven't any experience. Satan tries to tell us things of God, but he has no experience. May God help us this morning to hear his word and to understand it. The exhortation that's given: enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. See, life itself is compared to a path. Thus, we are all in a path. What an impression is here. What an image is brought before us. And we could say it's a biblical image. It's the word of God that brings it to us, sets it before us. A path. But you see, in a path, there's a beginning. There's a middle. And there will be an end. In every path. Here this morning, we have all different ages of people, all different thoughts, and yet each one is in a path. We might say there's different paths, many different paths, and yet it really does come down to two. And that's what Solomon brings before us here. There's the path of the wicked, and there's the path of the just, the righteous. And those two paths have their beginning, they have their middle, they have their end. It's what the Lord spake in that gospel when speaking the Sermon on the Mount. And he brings before us that there is the way of the path, the gate that leadeth unto life, which is narrow and straight. And then that wide gate that leadeth unto death. And many there are that go in thereat. These two gates. The wide gate, the narrow gate. They, by their implication, speak to us that in the wide gate there'll be lots of company. And you, dear young friends, you might think that there's strength in number. Not in the wide gate, there's not. The only strength you find there is the strength to embolden one in sin. Make one more easy in it. But that narrow gate, there aren't many that will go in thereat. And when one enters it, he must enter it alone. It's not something that you can go in with a friend. You can't enter into it with your parents. You can't enter into it with any other person. It's a very narrow gate. Few there are that find it. Here Solomon warns us then, enter not into the path of the wicked. Oh, different, what a sad thing it will be to enter into that path and never come out of it. I say never come out, because by nature we all enter into it. We have a general proclivity to it. We're drawn there. And we delight in it. We find that way to be easy. And something that we like. But to get out of it. No man can get out by his own strength. No man can get out by his own wisdom. Oh, once ensnared in that path, everyone, what a snare it is. You see, the enemy knows what he's doing when he lays the snare and we fall into it. Last Sunday, while giving the Sunday school address at Grand Rapids, I spoke of snares. And I brought with me two jars. One with a little bit bigger opening, the other with a little smaller opening. So the children could grasp it. And I said to the children, now, every one of you can put your hand straight into this narrow open jar. But I said, if there's something in that jar that you really love, you want to have, you would take your hand and you would hold it in your fist. But I said, then you couldn't pull your hand out of the jar any longer. You're snared. I told them of how many years ago, I don't know what country it was, but I read of how they wanted to capture monkeys. And they tried and tried and they weren't successful. Until one of them came up with the idea to put some treats that the monkeys love in a container. And the container was fastened to the tree. And you know, when the monkeys came, they put their hand and they took hold of that. And when they came to get the monkey was in terror. He wanted to get away, but he couldn't get away. Why? Because he couldn't let go of that which he was holding. He was snared by that which he held. That's what Satan has done with us. He puts these temptations, these snares of the world, these pleasures, these sins, these vices. He sets them and we take hold and we cannot let go. We can't. What a sad thing that we have such a nature that will not let go, though our life will be taken by it. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Oh, this path then. But you see, there's an entering by choice. We are always told about choice. Men make choice. You every day make a choice of what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on. There's lots of choices one makes in one's lifetime. But you see, even this choice that we make, down into the path of evil, the way of the wicked. Yes, we can make the choice to do that, but we cannot make a choice to get out of it. Ministers say, now it's your choice to leave it. They know not what they're talking about. No man has a choice to leave it. He can't. The only way we can ever be delivered is by the grace of Almighty God. Freely, sovereignly coming to bestow upon a poor sinner to deliver them. Not in any man that he has such a choice after that. There is but one free will choice and we've made it. And that is to sin. And once that's done, therefore, there's no more choice. We have chosen that way. Oh, but this path, this wicked. See how it's described for us here. In this chapter, this morning hour. this way of the wicked. If you come down to verse 19, the way of the wicked is darkness. What a description. There's no light in that way. We are told here that they that go in, they know not at what they stumble. Even you, dear young friends, you can understand a little of that. If you walk around your house at night when it's very, very dark, and you may stumble across perhaps a toy that's on the floor, you may stumble across perhaps some book that's laying on the floor, or maybe a piece of furniture. But why did you stumble? Because you couldn't see it. And that's what has happened to all those in the way of the wicked. They cannot see those things which Satan has laid for them to stumble. Oh, this path, this darkness, this sin. And we must give it the right word, if and it's sin. A word that we have heard so many times, but it's a word that we keep performing. Sin. It's a daily occurrence. And you know what happens when there's something of a daily occurrence? It becomes so routine and we give little heed. It's become so commonplace. That's in our heart personally, and that's in those all around us. You know, when I think of what's taking place in the world and what's happening, many things that at first seem to be so grievous now are so commonplace. Practices of men and women that when we first heard, we were shocked. Now they have very little effect. When we first heard of babies being aborted, oh, it seems such an awful and affronted thing. Now we hardly think of it. See, that's the nature of sin. It darkens the mind. And so it goes on. This is the path of the wicked. It's darkness. But you see what sin does, dear friend. The very nature of sin is this. It delights in harm. It delights in the harm of a soul. It delights in it. Some of us have read some of the accounts of what took place in Germany in World War II in concentration camps, and how the SS officers seem to delight in harming human beings. We can't quite grasp that one human being could be degraded so low as to delight in doing harm and evil to another. But that's what sin does. It delights to harm souls. When Satan sees souls in such distress, that mad Gadarean who could not be tamed, who had to live among the tombs, Satan delighted in it. That son who came, who was brought by his father to Jesus, who would cast the dear boy into the fire, Satan delighted in it. That's what evil does. It delights in ill toward mankind. But oh, defend when Satan gets you and I to do those sinful things, sinful practices. When he gets us to walk in pride, he delights in it. When he gets us to come in such a way that we begin, as it were, to argue one with another, he delights in it. When he causes the people of God to speak ill of one another, he delights in it. the way of the wicked. What a way it is. Oh, here, poor souls are overcome. And you see, in the end, Satan and all his followers, they gloat in the ruin of souls. They will gloat in that. What an awful, solemn thing, dear soul, to be one of those who go lost. And while Satan himself will be cast into the pit of darkness forever, he will gloat in many others that he's taken there too. Oh, remember that, young friends, older friends. Satan will gloat even then. Oh, he delights to bring souls down. Oh, a spiritual decline is his aim. Right from the beginning, didn't he succeed with Adam? What a decline it was, so fast it went. And still is going on. Oh, this way of the wicked. Enter not. But see, dear friend, in the spiritual decline, what it is that takes place. It leads poor sinners down that path where there's no purity. Oh, what a sad thing, dear friend, when we're in that place where purity is gone. When indeed all sobriety is lost. Sobriety is a very good thing. But Satan would have souls forget sobriety. You young friends, it's a very good thing if you're brought up in a sober way. And it might seem to you that your parents seem to be a bit too sober. You know, I remember growing up, and we had in the chapel at Grand Rapids lots of young people my age. And as we got to teenage years, the conversation of those in the teenage years, and many of them were older than me actually, a few years older. But their conversation was this, that the way of worship at the chapel at Zion was far too sober. I remember yet so many of them, and it wasn't long after that they left. Many of them went to very lighter places, and now today, many of them go nowhere at all. They went into the way of the wicked. What an awful thing it would be to depart from the path of sobriety for that of such pleasure. Take heed then, enter not into the path of the wicked. Again, when there's a loss of sobriety, I'll tell you what else will be lost. There'll be a loss of honesty. Oh, you say, no, these people are very honest. Oh, dear friend, they're not honest in the most vital place of all, with their own heart. There's no honesty there. There's no honesty with their dealings with God. They've lost honesty. Oh, that the Lord may help us to see this solemn state when one enters into the path of the wicked. We lose that too. God will be very honest to his word. To every one of his threats against the ungodly, he'll be honest. However much we have been dishonest in our dealings with him. Oh, this path. But then, See, what else, something else that's lost, and that is truthfulness. There is no truth outside of the way of the just. I say there's no truth. The way of the wicked, there's not an ounce of truth in it. And that's what's lost. Oh, that the Lord may open our eyes to see and understand a little of these things, that we may truly see how dreadful it is. But then you see, dear friends, something else in this. In the path of the wicked, there are certain things that will be learned, certain things that will be gained. First of all, lasciviousness. You'll learn that, and you'll walk in it. And what a sin that is. What an offense to Almighty God. But secondly, there will be the path of the profane. And profanity itself. That too will be gained. And the soul goes on strong in that. And then, dear friends, this is what there will be gained, and that's the hard heart. Hard-heartedness itself. Oh, what a ruin it is. What a loss. Young and old, may God help us to hear His own word. This exhortation in the day in which we live, enter not into the path of the wicked. Ah, but how can we escape? How can we ever come out of that path? And notice as they writer Solomon here goes on, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not into the way of evil men. Notice the next verse. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. Four short things there he speaks. Avoid it. We know what it is to try to avoid something. I look at what is taking place in our country with this whole virus business. And what extreme measures are taken to avoid it when there's no avoiding of sin and the things which will destroy the soul. What a lesson. Avoid it. But we covet it. We embrace it. We take it into our heart. Avoid it. Pass not by it. The exhortation again is go of the very opposite way. Opposite. Oh, but we go toward it. You dear children, you know what it is when you have perhaps a candle burning or a fire and a moth comes along and he's drawn right to that fire, isn't he? He doesn't pass by it. He's drawn to it. That's how you and I are in the way of the wicked. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Oh, this turning away. And if we turn away, dear friend, there's only one thing we can really be turned on to then. And all that brings us then to this next thought. That way of the righteous, the way of the godly, the way of the just. Or as we have here in verse 18, the path of the just is as a shining light. Now, Solomon here is speaking how we are to be delivered from this way of the wicked. He tells us in verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Now, in the book of Proverbs, the word wisdom is the word that's set for Christ. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 9, the 9th chapter, there you'll have a whole description of wisdom, and it's Christ that speaks. In chapter 8, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. He calls himself that. Wisdom himself, he is wisdom itself. He is divine wisdom, but he's wisdom for poor sinners. He's that wisdom that is imparted to them then. And in getting wisdom, they get him. That's what it will be. It's to obtain Christ. It's to know him. Or to learn of him. Again, when he says get understanding. What a beautiful word it is. And let me just turn you for a moment to Proverbs chapter 8 in the 14th verse. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. This is Christ speaking here. I am understanding. I have strength. This is that one of that way of wisdom. The way of the righteous. Now we're told what will happen if we get this wisdom. First of all, in verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the chief thing. It's the most vital thing, this wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, the many invitations we have, the exhortations to ask for that wisdom. And I love that word. Let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he gives them freely. Oh, when he doesn't ask for a price to those that come asking for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Then let's come to see what she does, or this wisdom does. Verse 8, exalt her, she shall promote thee. Oh, different, what a wonderful thing when you and I are enabled to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we exalt him in this, that we flee unto him to hide us? That's an exalting of Christ. He is exalted then when a poor sinner comes and flees unto Jesus. When a poor sinner comes to seek guidance and direction and light from him, he's exalted. Oh, what an exhortation there is when the soul comes to him in that way and seeks to know the will of God, to be found in that holy will. Oh, this is the exhortation that he receives and then he promotes. For he does promote them then. You see, different in exhorting, they are promoted to this. They are promoted to the place of worship. I say, different, that's a wonderful thing. We little understand that. What a great thing it will be, soul, if you and I are really promoted to the place of worship. Multitudes think they have worship. They've never been promoted to it. But the Lord will promote poor sinners to the place of worship. Oh, he will bring them to that place where they will know what real worship is. And they will worship God, Father, Son, and Spirit. They will come to that place that the Lord spake to the woman at Jacob's well. The hour has come when the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, then they will know what it is to be exalted, promoted. In that way. Again. Oh, they will be promoted in the perfections of the Lord Jesus himself. Dear friends, do you understand what those perfections are of Christ? To behold him in all that he is. See it, dear friend, in this. In all the perfection of his person. His divine person. In his sacred humanity. Oh, you will exalt him. and he will promote you. To again see the perfection of his offices as that prophet of God, the prophet whom the Lord has testified, he will testify of him, that office of his high priestly work. Oh, you will exalt him there, coming as a poor sinner unto the great high priest, for him to offer up on your behalf and to present himself as that perfect sacrifice, an offering made with fire unto God of a sweet-smelling savour. Oh, there he will be exalted and the poor sinners promoted. Oh, see here, dear friend, what comes to those who are turned out of the path of the wicked and into this path of the just. Again, oh, there will be that office of his kingship. And then too, dear friend, he will be exalted when the poor sinner comes and bows before him as Lord and King. And does not he promote them then? Oh, he does. He kings can promote, can't they? Oh, they promote men of low degree and they raise them up. So he will promote these souls near unto himself. Oh, think of all his gifts that he has to give. Are there not perfection in that? And when a poor soul comes and exalts him because of his gifts, they are promoted. And then secondly, we read here, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. Now, what an ornament it is that is given to these souls. We all know what ornaments are. We read of the bride who decketh herself with her ornaments. We find all around us people put on their ornaments. We leave the whatever judgment might be upon them, but they do put on their ornaments. She shall put upon thine head an ornament of grace. What a wonderful thing when a soul is so blessed of God and honored of God when the ornament of grace is put upon their head. We read elsewhere in the book of Proverbs that the hoary head is a crown of life. It is a glory of life if it be found in the way of life. It's a crown of glory if it be found in the way of life. But oh, this ornament of grace. First of all, there's justifying grace. They will be honored with that. Wonderful if there is a little of that put upon us, any of us here, something of that ornament. Again, when I think of this ornament, one cannot help but think of that word in 1 Peter chapter 3, where he speaks, likewise, or after this manner in old time, the holy women also trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. And what was this ornament? It's the ornament of the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Oh, this ornament of grace, justifying grace. A soul that's justified before God. What an ornament he has upon him in that. Oh, I say, dear friend, it's a precious thing. It's a rare thing, really, when a soul has something of that. Again, it's the ornament of that tender love of God upon them. What an ornament it is that they are blessed with. Or again, it's that ornament of sanctifying grace that is put upon their head. This is what God does for these souls who will come into this way of life, the path of the just, the ornament of grace. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. Shall I tell you, dear friend, one of those ornaments of grace? The fear of the Lord. All throughout this Proverbs again, we keep coming to that. The fear of the Lord is beginning the wisdom. The fear of the Lord is life. The fear of the Lord is health. Oh, it's the ornament of grace that will be put upon the head of such. Oh, this is that way of life. The path of the just. Or again, read in verse 12 here. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. Oh, different, what an ornament that will be. Oh, there will be now an enlargement of heart. You know, so often the soul feels his way so shut up, so narrowed up. He feels it so much in the way of grace. Oh, the things that he wants to obtain, the things he wants to know, the things he wants to experience, but he's shut up. Ah, says the Lord, but thy feet shall be enlarged, the path of thy feet. Thy steps shall not be straightened. That means they'll be enlarged. Oh, dear friend, to come into that path in that way, to know really God enlarging the soul, enlarging the heart, enlarging the desires, and enlarging something of that reception of Christ in the heart. Oh, this is that fear of God. But again, there will be also the knowledge of self that will be opened up more and more. And the delivery from it. Oh, you see, and dear friend, in that fear of God in the soul, there'll be something too of this watching in prayer. That's how they will escape that way of the wicked. That path of the wicked. By watching in prayer. And being kept. And then too. Oh, they will be given that crown. The crown of life. The crown of glory. That will be delivered unto them. Well, what a warning we have here then. What an exhortation. May the Lord help us each to hear, to consider, to read the chapter and the book itself, and to perceive something then of the warnings that are given against that way of the wicked, to be delivered from it. And oh, may there be something of deliverance, a God-wrought deliverance. It's not different a deliverance that men they come to from time to time. Oh, they have some sobriety that's imparted. Perhaps something's taken place. There's been some difficulty. There's been perhaps some loss that they've experienced. There's been some deep sorrow. And for a time there's a reformation, there's a transformation. Oh, what a wonderful sight they seem to do and what progress they seem to make. But it's not of God yet. Oh, may the Lord show us that which is truly of Him. The work of grace in the soul. And the blessing of the Lord upon the heart. Oh, may the Lord help us that we may not enter into that path of the wicked. And go not in the way of evil men. Let us continue by singing hymn number 1016. 1016, God of my life, thy gracious power, through varied deaths my soul has led, oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Hymn 1016. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt now forgive all thou hast seen amiss. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us. Amen.